Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
TK Breezy here with Austin as we talk about stuff going on in the Smash community. And, you know, any questions that you guys have been delivering from Twitter. Today, well, there was a decent amount of, toxicity that was brought up recently between Omni and also Kokiri. We had a lot more to say about it in a well-rehearsed, nuanced way than Omni did. And so we'll talk about that first, and then we'll get to your Twitter questions. First, before we do all that, guys, how are you doing, Austin?
Good, man. Today is my girlfriend's birthday, so we did a lot of fun stuff today. So we're going to do some more after the podcast, but still nice to get on here and talk with you. How you doing?
Same old. Hit 1,000 subs. Nice.
Let's go!
That was also nice. But
Mr. 1K. Yeah,
Mr. 1K? Yeah, same old though. You know how it is. Big chilling.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and open up the chat real quick. So yeah, let's go ahead and get to the first topic though, and it happens to be the toxicity that's still obviously very rampant in Smash. It doesn't seem to be dying down, and it seems to also be getting directed, or it seems to be getting belittled and misinterpreted or whatever. One thing that I've noticed is that, like, when it comes to Smash, a lot of girls have to sit with, like, a level of harassment that is not okay in any way, shape, or form. But, like, men, you know, or just males in general, we do not usually have to sit with the same level of harassment just for existing. You know, O2 players are just O2 players. They can, you know, they can go to a tournament and be a nobody for, you know, the entirety of their Smash existence. But as a like female Smasher, or, you know, a woman, trans or not, you're going to get attention all the time just for existing as a woman. And I feel like a lot of men don't really get that. So whenever I see men complaining about, like, harassment, like, it happens to them all the time, I had to say that, like, it really comes down to the fact that you don't even know the level of harassment that, like, women have to deal with from, like, people that you may not even know exist. There's, like, all kind of people who make, like, random ass accounts to, like, harass people, say gross, just grotesque things to women in general, especially if that woman's connected to, like, someone. So Kokiri is connected to ESAM, but she already had a little fame before then from, you know, the Patreons and OnlyFans or whatever she was doing before then. And now that she's connected to ESAM, ESAM's always, you know, I feel like people go out their way to try to start stuff with them in particular. And I don't know, man, it's annoying to see. And it's also annoying to see her message of, like, her message get diminished because of, like, other people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's an issue because I feel like a lot of it's not visible too. Like, a lot of it is DMs. A lot of it's DMs that don't get exposed. Even some of the DMs that they put out there, like, they will put it out there into the public. That's not putting out all the other DMs of just ear hate that these people get. And it's a huge problem. And I feel like there's that issue where it's like, people think it's solved now because we kicked out the bad people. Like, it's all good. The Smash community is good now. And that's not the case. Like, at all. Like, in fact, I feel like it's kind of the same, with just some bad apples are gone now. So, but it's still pretty rampant.
Yeah. So I gotta go. Let me go back and find Kokiri's tweets, because I wanted to talk about them, like, more in depth while we were here.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that tweet started off with Omni saying some very sus shit. I haven't read his tweet longer yet, but basically he made a very off joke. Where, like, when it was a joke, it was more so like, I guess he was trying to prove a point, but the point that he was trying to prove was not it. So basically, I guess he caught some flack for one of his last videos.
He got a lot of heat for it.
Yeah, he got a lot of heat for one of his last videos. And he was like, it's crazy to me that, like, you know, there's still all this toxicity running around for me who is making videos, I guess trying to, like, shed some light on it. He said, maybe if I touched kids or sexually assault someone, y'all would respect me more or something. And I was like, that I saw it And it stayed up for a while too. I mean, he didn't delete that immediately when it started getting some backlash. I mean, he really like let that sit for a bit. And so I saw it. I didn't comment on it. I saw Mighty Keith trying to like, I don't know, downplay it and like, you know, good job trying to be a good friend. But like, no, Omni, that just was not it. Like, you were a grown ass man. You should know that that was not the take that you should have put out there, you know?
Mm. Like, it's even if he that was something that he just thought of in the second, the fact that he didn't even think to like delete the tweet like immediately shows that like he didn't put as much thought as he could have. I mean, honestly, from seeing his past tweets, it looks like he's been, you know, very apologetic about it and realizes his faults. So that at least there's that to come from it. But to make jokes about a serious issue is not the play, because you're making light of it. You're making, oh, he's making a joke out of it, so therefore this is okay. Ha ha ha. You know? So I get the message he's trying to push, but it was not the correct way to go about it. Because the message that he's trying to push is that, like, all these people who have been ousted as pedophiles or sexual harassers or whatever, that they still get people defending them, or that they get away with this stuff because they're good at the game or because they have a personality. And that's the message he was trying to push. But the way he worded that was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I just, there obviously a lot of people have, I think because of their status, it's been a lot harder for most people to accept what is going on, especially within the state of life, or especially within like the case of Nairo. You know, a lot of people are, you know, he did some shit, and even regardless of the years that passed, I'm sure that he learned from it, but it's still everything that surrounded that just looks really bad. But I feel like people are still, because it's Nairo, or we're not so quickly to be like, oh, we got to kick him out of the community. They were more so like, oh man, like, I hope he can come back. You know, I hope he can, you know, I hope he can like make the right stride so that the Smash community will accept him again. And I'm just like, just don't think that's the message we're trying to send here.
Yeah, so. And it's becoming more and more common that people are starting to like turn all the sexual predator stuff like into memes and make jokes about it and try to make light. I've seen YouTube videos where like the thumbnail just shows like all of the predators that have been exiled from the scene, and it's just like it makes me feel a certain way. It makes me feel uncomfortable like seeing stuff like that. Like, oh, it feels like it's being lighthearted again. You know, it has to do with the community just not being grown up, man. Like, I feel like there's still a lot of kids in this community, or a lot of people that are kid at heart too. So
I found it finally. So yeah, it took a little bit. Sick. Yeah, I had to scroll a little farther down. I forgot that was like, it was yesterday, but she'd be tweeting, you know what I'm saying? So, so Omni said that thing. And she said that, well, when I had a similar sentiment just a few days ago, you decided to use it as an opportunity to make it about positive changes rather than acknowledging its lingering issues. Weird that you're now choosing to be critical once you view yourself as the victim. And then she said, but regardless of that, this is vile. Comparing yourself to the victims of assault and sexual harassment because people don't like your YouTube video is so incredibly tone deaf. She said, to put things in perspective, you experienced a bad night of harassment, and then immediately emphasized with victims who have experienced this constantly since coming forward. The empathy should be a constant and not just appear when it applies to your own situation. And so, you know, a lot of people are definitely feeling that. And I guess he made it a twit longer. I haven't read it yet. I don't know how long it is. I guess I'll look and see how long it is real quick just to see if he actually felt like he learned something from it. But just overall, it's not that long. Okay. So, he actually put it in here. He said, earlier today, I made an extremely insensitive tweet that says, a little bit surprised by the overwhelming hate I received randomly last night, to be honest. I can't even make non-Smash content in peace without Smash community coming in at me sideways. Maybe if I touch little kids and sexually harass women, I'd get a little respect. But what I said was rude, offensive, and completely unacceptable. There's no excuse. I deserve no offense. You support me. If you support me, please do not defend my actions. As someone who claims to support victims, the statement is beyond hypocritical, and I'm ashamed of myself. The events that have transpired over the past few weeks in the Smash community should never be used as a tool, joke, or weapon that's marginalized the victims and use their experience and trauma as an object that I used to push my own selfish agenda. For that, I'm truly sorry. I lashed out in anger and in the process placed countless victims' abuse in my path. It was extremely considerate and of me, and I'm truly sorry. Do not dampen this by suggesting, well, he has a point. Which, to be completely honest, he does. Like, he does have a point. In a way where it's like, I get what you were trying to say, but you did not say that in the way that it is conveyed, that you probably wanted to convey it. But he said, I'm terrified that I may have undone something that cannot be repaired. The victims, I accept whatever anger or resentment you may hold toward me. And that's all he has to say. Thank you for reading. So that was a really good apology from him. I give it up. But just, you know, overall, I don't know. Like, I didn't see the video that it was in question. Is the Pokimane video?
Yes. He made some, like, off-color comment about it.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I did see that pop up in my, like, you know, YouTube recommended and or my subscriptions. I am subscribed to Omni, but the only thing I said was when I first saw it was like, why are you making videos about Pokimane? Like, that's so weird. And then I just moved on. Like, I didn't, you know, like, I didn't watch it. I didn't care to watch it. It just did not matter to me. But, I mean, Kokiri has really good points, too, that, like, yes, as has been said, a lot of these women, ones who haven't even come forward yet, still, are still dealing with a shit ton of harassment. And even when they do come forward, most likely, most people are always, you know, proof, you know? And they can have the proof in there. Now, I've seen some, definitely some very, very vague ones where it's like, you know, like, for instance, like, mine was super vague. So I was like, yeah, man, I need a little more context. But if I see, like, screenshots and, like, there's timestamps and, like, I see DMs and all this stuff, I don't, like, that's the proof right there. Why are we still asking for proof when it's, like, right in front of your face? You know what I'm saying? But most people, they won't do that, or they won't take people at face value because they think they know everyone based off how they play the game, and that's just not how it is. And then it's based off how they don't play the game. Like, there's a lot of women that don't come to play Smash. They just come to, you know, they enjoy the scene, they enjoy the community, and now these people are like looked down on when there probably is the same amount of dudes who also just come to tournaments not to play, just to like hang out with their friends and chill, but they don't get any flack because they're dudes. Shit sucks.
Yeah. I think the big issue with the providing proof part is a lot of the time there isn't proof. You know, it's impossible to have proof because maybe the situation was in person. There was no text. Maybe it happened like 10 years ago and they were so afraid to come out and now they finally feel brave enough, but they still don't have something that could uphold it, you know? Yeah. But I think people just got to be a little bit more sympathetic, you know, like take it from like, hear from both sides and formulate your own thoughts instead of just being like I immediately believing one guy because you like their content. They're good at the game. They make you laugh. You watch their stream every day because you should not use that as a way to defend them. Like you gotta look at it from like an unbiased way while reading both sides, because a lot of the times the victims have a lot to lose to come out. They have way more to lose than the game, in all honesty. So the fact that, like, yes, there are sometimes victims that lie, like, that does happen, but that's, like, what, like, 1%, 2% of, like, all cases? Like, it's such a small, small number that the fact that people are just immediately, like, no way, he would never do that. I know him like my brother, even though I've never met him in person in my life. I he would never do that. So,
yeah,
I don't know, man. Like, that when you said the no proof thing, that really irked me. I hate that. That's such a knee-jerk reaction comment from people.
Yeah. I mean, like, I definitely think that. Like, if I read something and I don't see, like, a crazy amount of detail in it, I will think that. I'll be like, you know what? I want to see.
If it's vague.
I don't say it out loud. It's more so it's like, I'd be like, I want to see what the other person says. Like, I'm right now, I am believe. You know, I believe what I'm seeing right now, but I'm not going to, like, go out and start this tirade until I get something back. But silence also speaks volumes, too. It's like, you know, like, if for instance, if Senpai came out and actually said something about the shit that happened against her, I would probably still believe Puppe, because, I mean, I've heard that rumor way too many times, but at the very least, it would have been thought-provoking. Like, okay, so now we have two different sides of the story. We have to, like, decipher, you know, which one is closer to the truth. But when someone comes out with a story as detailed as Puppe's and then like nothing is said on the other side, you just have to believe that's 100% the truth now. Like there's nothing has been said, so obviously this person is running. So
have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you'd never expect at a price you'd never believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. Here's how it works. It's like an auction. But every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer or the item is yours. If you go ahead and buy now, DealDash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon signup. On top of their other discounts, go to DealDash.com and use the offer code PREADDICTION or DealDash.fm/PREADDICTION. That's DEALDASH.fm/PREADDICTION. Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is finally kicking off this week, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. With the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champ Robert Horry, see what they had to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
But yeah, I mean, it's a very annoying reaction to like everyone's thing. And it's also annoying to see everyone get like labeled as the same thing. Some crimes are way worse than others. Some people had like a one-off experience where they may have overpushed a boundary. And those people, yeah, they should, if they're learning from their shit, then good. I'm glad that those people are learning from their shit. But if at the same time, if someone is constantly doing that, and it's like if they're constantly doing that and it's not a one-time thing, and it's even worse than that. I mean, some things a one-time thing is enough. Like if you rape someone, that's a one-time thing. That is enough. But if you're like flirty with someone one time and it made them uncomfortable, right? And you were like, wow, you know, I made them uncomfortable. You may have not ever apologized to them publicly or privately or whatever, but you have changed your ways because of that. I give you the benefit of the doubt. But if like that same story comes out seven different times, then I'm kind of like, sounds like you're not really learning. You know what I mean? And I think that's, people have to stop grading everything on the same schedule, like, or same scale, you know? What Senpai did is very bad. It's very like terrible. What Kataro did is very bad, very terrible. But I can't really think anybody who has like a low tier story or whatever, but like, you know what I mean? Like if a person comes out and they're like, and someone's like, yeah, man, he made me feel uncomfortable at this one tournament, but it happened at this one tournament, like, I don't know, 8 years ago. We can't be like holding him to the same standard as what we're holding, you know, Senpai and Kataro to. Like, they are very far removed. Now, I would probably keep an eye on this person, the third person with the softer story, just to be like, I wonder, you know, let me see if they've actually changed or not. But I'm not going to act like they got to get blacklisted, you know, from the community or in the entire world because of like a interaction that happened to them 8 years ago. So yeah,
it's
all over. It's all over right now.
Yeah. It's a touchy subject, but the biggest deal is that, you know, this is not dying down anytime soon. I don't think, I mean, like, it feels like it's died down since there was just so many reveals and like one night alone, but
yeah, and then like nothing's really been coming out since. But I think that if stuff is coming out, we might just be missing it because it's not like they're not as big. Like the big stuff all came out like one by one for like, you know, super big figureheads. And then, you know, there's probably still some stuff coming out for like small tournament goers and shit like that, but it just doesn't have the same
traction. Effect.
Yeah, it's same not traction.
The appeal is no longer there because it's no longer drama, which a lot of people actually do care about. A lot of people are just in it for the drama, you know, and this is a real issue. New York City alone had some issues during the whole thing. I felt like I swept underneath the rug because of that. But
the Vinya and Fruit thing?
There's more going on. It's kind of like, I don't really want to comment on it because there's so much like information out there. But okay.
No, I mean, I knew about that. That's the only one I knew about, though. Like, yeah, I kept seeing that there was like a new one every day.
Yeah. And that's hard because there's so much going on. What's good is that the local tournaments are dealing with it and the TOs are making decisions about that. And usually if you have a good TO, hopefully, fingers crossed, they'll make the appropriate action and ban them from their local or whatever to make the people feel safe. You know, it's all about making people feel safe at tournaments, making people feel safe online. When you're getting death threats online because you decided to come out about like, because someone approached you and you like were sexually harassed or whatever. Like, that's terrible. It's in the long run, sometimes it's better just not to say anything. And that's awful because they're so afraid of all the backlash. Like, yeah. I can't even begin to imagine what's going through their minds. So just people ease up a little bit on the victims, you know, like just don't have a knee-jerk reaction. Like, I mean, that's social media and Twitter kind of like add to that. With just the immediate knee-jerk reactions to stuff, where like, we need answers now. I'm gonna make this statement came out 5 minutes ago. I'm making a judgment right now, instead of just, I'm gonna wait for like 5 hours and formulate my thoughts and see if there's a response from the other side. You know, like it's okay not to make an immediate statement, but like Twitter just thrives off of those replies, those retweets, those impressions. You know, that you have to get your say out there so you get all the likes in the world.
Yeah.
Basically, I hate social media.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if it wasn't for the fact that it's the easiest way to reach a lot of people, I probably wouldn't even be on Twitter. But Anyway, let's move on to these of your questions, guys. We got R.I. Rod saying, I just thought of this one because I saw it on Reddit. Thoughts on MVG bringing Salem back after 2 weeks of therapy and the excuse that he didn't know the ages of the accused while also still encouraging a minor to do sexual acts. I really don't think Salem was in the position to be, like, thrown away. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't do anything. He just was complicit and also, like, egged on that situation. That's bad enough as itself, but, like, he's still on the outside to me. You know what I mean? Like, just a really weird part of the outside. The therapy thing is annoying because 2 weeks of therapy ain't shit. Like, I'm fucking, like, 5 months in and I'm still discovering new stuff. You know? So, like, you're not gonna, like, just solve a whole issue, your whole life issue, in 2 weeks. And I hate that people think that. That's why I feel like a lot of people who have posted that they're going to get therapy are going to go and like do their therapy for like 3 weeks and be like, look, guys, I'm fucking saved. It's like, no, man, you're 20 something. Okay. You've had like this, you've had something ingrained in you for at least multiple years. You're not going to fix it in 3 months, dude. Like that's not how that works. As far as MVG, I mean, MVG. I read MVD for some reason. MVG bringing Salem back. As far as MVG doing that, I don't, like, I have no opinion on MVG anyway. I've always thought they were kind of shady. I've always thought they were kind of shady. Like, I don't know too much about their business. Like, I just, like, if it wasn't for Vaseth, I feel like that company would not have a straight man at all. You know what I mean? I just don't see it.
Bro, what does MVG do? Like, do they just make content? Know. Like,
they ran a tournament once.
Yeah, that's what I was confused about, because I thought MVG started as, like, a streaming service, and then they decided to run tournaments, and then they started making content, and then they started signing players. But now, I feel like they're all over, and I think Vaseth got a job with them, and is now, like, the general manager or something along those lines. With that company, and like you said, he's like the straight man that's like, yeah, you know, the that's helping out the team of it. But like, I kind of just don't really know what they've been up to, because every time I've worked with them as a commentator, they've been really nice on the sides, but like, I don't know them personally.
But also, I mean, the other thing is that I actually tweeted about this a while ago, but the other thing is that I don't like that defense that he didn't know the age of the accused. Salem is 2 years older than the accused. And they've played each other multiple times. You know, they've been top players forever. They had to play each other in finals and all that good shit. At a time where before the accused turned 20. So to act like you looked at this dude and thought, oh, he's got to be like 12. Nah, bro. Nah. I mean, not like Google is free. Nairo is a very important figure. His birthday shows up all the time. People talk about it. There's no way you could avoid that. I don't.
How long did they know each other?
I don't know. I don't know, man. It's just he was a very important figure. His birthday came up all the time. I just don't get how you could try to use that excuse and think that we were going to be like, oh, it's cool, man. Like, yeah, he do be looking kind of young. Nah, man. Nah. So I'm good on that. That was I did the math and everything. I put a whole tweet out. I was like, this excuse is trash. I would have been better off of him just saying, look, man, like, I didn't think much of it when it happened, you know, but now that I've like seen it in this light, I realized that like my actions were wrong and I should not have egged on, you know, or I should have not like been talking to a minor about this stuff so openly. That's not like his fucking family. You know what I'm saying? Like you'll probably talk to like your cousin or something, like if I have a little younger cousin and she's like 17, she just starts having sex or whatever, and she wants to talk about it, we can talk about it, but not in the way that he was. Like, talk to me about it in a way where you're trying to get like understanding on the subject. Not like, I don't want to know your sex capades though. I don't want to know that. Like, you know what I mean?
That,
like,
made me so uncomfortable, dog. Like, I'm gonna be 100% real. I hated reading that. It just made me feel awkward. Like, just the way he, I don't want to talk about it no more.
I don't really have a crazy opinion. MVG will do MVG things. I think that Salem's excuse or thing of going to 2 weeks of therapy sounds kind of like a lie.
Whack.
I mean, 2 weeks of therapy. I mean, like, you don't even meet your therapist every day, so it really probably was like two times at most.
And like a single 30 minute session saved his life.
I don't know, man. Anyway. Moving on, I got a question from Crosslear. Said, what do you know about D1 deleting his confession? Then he said, assuming you know anything, sorry, that was kind of a dick way to ask, which it was, and I don't know anything because I haven't talked to D1 since the day that the shit came out. Like, he hasn't tweeted, we haven't texted, we haven't done anything, so.
I didn't even know he did that he deleted it.
Yeah, well, I mean, probably some lawyer stuff, who knows. Yeah. Zadisia says, how do you feel about people treating who they main as like an extension of themselves? What I mean is, like, I'm a Mario main, so I do X, Y, and Z, and I'll just see people dismiss the other solely because of who they main. I think it's toxic. Don't see other communities do this. Why don't you just say, how do you think it feels to be like Wizzy? No. Bro. That was what that question was, bro. Like, how does it feel to be like Wizzy? I don't, like, fan bases are fan base, man. Like, I love games, but I never feel like I am Link. You know what I'm saying? I love Zelda a shit ton, but I never feel like I am, you know.
Dude, Link. I am and Mr. I need a Game Zelda, & Watch. I am Game & Watch, bro.
Yeah. But there's people that definitely do weird stuff like this. You know what I'm saying? There's definitely people who are... I feel like Smash just has this thing, though, where people who are usually fans of their Smash character are, like, fans of that series in general. Usually Melee is not so much. I don't really know a lot of people who play Fox and Falco and Star Fox, but you know, those, like, those Earthbound people, the Sonic kids, all that good stuff, like,
especially, you know, I mean, the Sonic kids.
Yeah they're usually big fans, and I think that's okay to be part of the fan base. Just like, you gotta separate your fan base and stuff from your real life eventually, bro. You can't be walking into work, you know, you're 9 to 5 with the Sonic hat on. Like, no one wants to see that, bro. Go put your fucking McDonald's jacket on and ask me what I want. Anyway,
that's so rude.
And I just, as far as dismissing people solely for who they main, it depends on who it is. Depends on who it is, bro. Like, I mean, it depends on what they were doing too. A lot of people who were going O2, who started maining Bayonetta before she got buffed or nerfed in Smash 4. You know what they were doing? They were just trying to play to win, and then they were still going like 1-2. So you're just ruining some other O2ers. Thing to still get bodied in bracket with a broken character. So I don't know man it's a weird, like, crossroad where I feel like it's definitely okay to go to a convention and be all, it's like their cosplay, right? But if I were to, like, to just go to the store and I saw, like, two, you know, kids in, like, a full Sonic gear, I'd be like, this is kind of weird, you know. Or not two kids, but like two grown men in, like, full Sonic gear, I'd be like, okay, this is kind of weird. And that's about where I'll put it.
TK, I have a confession.
You own a Sonic hat, bro?
Yeah. Back. Like, listen,
I will be.
Listen, no. Can I explain? like I didn't like knee jerk reaction much. When I was 17, I was in Brawl. I liked Brawl a lot. I played Sonic, who was my main. I went to tournaments with the Sonic hat on. I sometimes wore a Sonic shirt with it too. Once a year later, I saw the error of my ways and moved on. I was a foolish kid. I didn't know any better. And I think these other people.
When did you stop wearing it? What age?
I don't know, man. Like 18, 19, like before 20. Before 20. Over 10 years ago, TK.
All right, man.
10 years!
All right, man, moving on. Indigo Harmony says, in a timeline where Smash meters are allowed in competitive play, how much does your personal tier list change? Zelda just moves very far up, and everybody else is pretty much right at the same area. That's, I mean, Zelda's fucking busted with the meters, so.
Wait, what?
I just... Hold on. Yeah, I mean, Zelda just... Pretty much that's all I care about. Zelda going all the way to the tier list and we're good. I mean, Peach, I guess, too, but she's already pretty good without him, so... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, did you have something else to add? I thought you were...
No, I got nothing, man. I'm still hung up about the hat thing.
Okay, buddy. Anyway, it looks like I'll be doing this.
Oh, I have a Q&A question from the Reddit, if you want that one.
Yeah, but let's go ahead and finish this real quick.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Mock SSBU says, when you first started commentating, did you have trouble finding the words to say? I tried commentating a match and just couldn't figure out what to say and make it interesting. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna be like a little lost on the rhythm of things for a while, you know? And besides, when I first started commentating was so freeform. It didn't matter what you were doing at the time. But once I first started to get to a point of making my own rhythm, I never really felt like I had a loss for words. But it is a rhythm that you make yourself. Don't copy anyone. Just kind of come with your own heat and then adjust according to what you feel like you're weak on. So that's my answer to that.
I say a lot of it's confidence. I think I've used this before. Just go in knowing that you're going to kill it and you'll kill it. Like TK said in the beginning, like it was different. Even before I started, when TK was years before I started, it was still like that was even more freeform. But when I did it, I was doing it at locals where we didn't even talk about the match and we sucked. And that's just how it was. Like in the beginning, and that's how you will also be until you get the confidence to go in. I don't know. So
yeah. Blitz comment says, liked the love given to Kirby Air Ride on the last hard reads. My question, you have to give a game sequel announcement on the next direct, have a game be ported to the Switch, and the last game gets nothing. Choose between Mario Sunshine, Kirby's Air Ride, Mario Strikers. Why? I want the sequel to Kirby's Air Ride. I want Mario Sunshine ported, and I want nothing for Mario Strikers, only because I feel like they're going to fuck it up somehow. Like, I wouldn't want a sequel to Mario Strikers because for most people, Charge is perfect. Like, and like it, I could not imagine them like trying to leave a lot of that stuff that was in Charge that made Charge good in the sequel. And I don't really want to port either because I don't know. I just Mario Strikers Charge is like we're good. You know what I mean? Like, we're good. You can still play that joint on your PC anyway. So, yeah, there you go.
I would say, yeah, I agree with the Kirby's Air Ride one. I want that to be the sequel because that needs more love. I think I would actually want Strikers ported over Sunshine. I feel like there's, like, Sunshine was a good game, but there's been plenty and plenty of other Mario games after that. 3D, you know, we've had Galaxy, Odyssey. You know, so, like, it's going to continue getting games that, like, maybe not the exact same, but are in the same like tone. Whereas, you know, Strikers hasn't seen love since GameCube. And I would love to see that get... especially in a multiplayer fashion.
Charge was on the Wii.
Oh, it was Wii! I forgot. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay, Sunshine was GameCube. Okay, yeah. But anyways, I would love to see that get ported and maybe see like a competitive scene to that game. That'd be really cool. You can't really see it. If Sunshine got ported, that'd be really... cool, but you know,
I come take the shit out some Strikers for sure.
That sounds lit. Like that's why I would love to see a port of that game. Just to see help it revive the multiplayer scene.
Yeah. Blueberry says, what do you think about making clickbait content like controversial tier lists or talking about popular streamer gossip? I personally don't like it because it does not interest me to make that. I don't want to become the gossip guy, but I do watch it. I don't watch tier list shit. I think tier list shit is whack. I'm tired of talking about tier list just in general.
But who's your top 10? Everyone's
always asking that. Top 10, top 5. Who's most underrated? Who's overrated? I don't fucking care. Like, but popular streamer gossip and stuff like that. Like, I do watch that shit. I watch Streamers Reloaded and stuff like that. Just depends on who's delivering the stuff. Like, if it's gonna be like someone like Keemstar, I'm not gonna watch that shit. But if we're gonna watch like objective things with facts and stuff like Streamers Reloaded, I will watch. I'll pretty much throw that on like once a week just to see what's popping off in the Twitch sphere.
Yeah, tier list is literally like people make tier lists because it gets impressions. That's literally it. Like I don't think people actually care about how strong a character is like to today's standards. Now sometimes they will. Like I see people at locals talk about it every now and then. but it's people like top players will literally just put it out there because it's free. So I'm bored of it. I was bored of talking about the tier list after like in 2019. So like I definitely just don't want to hear about that crap anymore.
Yeah. Zizzy had another question, but I think I'm going to have to save that for the next one because we run a little late. Let me just, I'm missing some replies. What's going on? There's one more. I missed it.
Bet.
It is. Oh, here you go. It is. Do you ever see Smash not having an online presence or being so obscure that it no longer garners a substantial audience? What would it take for that to be a reality other than, say, apocalyptic times? Smash is too large of a game. It's one of Nintendo's like main flagship games. This game forces people to buy systems. So I don't really see this game dying anytime soon. Maybe not so many competitive people, and we have to, like, as far as like the people that you know, the Marses, you know what I'm saying, the Sam Soras and all that good stuff. May not see them for a little bit, but as far as Smash as a game itself, nah, this game is way too fucking huge.
It's natural when you put so many popular IPs together in a game. You know, like, crossovers are always the biggest deal in any form of medium. So there's no way it won't.
Yeah. One more, and then you can ask your Reddit question. Do you feel actively influenced by your following? If so, is it positive or negative? I don't really feel influenced, but I do feel like I only see the negatives now, and just in general, that's kind of like where my head is. And so it's one of the things I've been trying to go to therapy for and work on. Just, you know, caring depression, potential bipolarness, I'm not sure. But I'm just trying to figure out how to live and navigate life with that. So, but it's hard because, yeah, social media is just usually negative, man. Like, you can't do anything positive. People don't fucking care. Like, but as soon as you do some negative shit, that's when everybody wants to chime in and, you know, have an opinion and talk down to you like they've never done anything bad in their lives or anything stuff. So, yeah.
Social media is poison, dog. Like, I remember years ago, I would, like, wish I had a huge following or something like that, blah, blah, blah. But now, like, I'm grateful. Like, I'm still, like, in the 3K. I'm totally fine being down there because I see what the more followers you have, the more crap you're going to have to deal with. So, social media is just, I dislike it. I don't let my followers influence me that much. Granted, I don't really interact with them that much. When we were doing the outing of everyone, like, I lost a lot of followers because, you know, we were putting our thoughts out there. But that's natural. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you deal with that more.
Yeah, well, yeah, I honestly don't even be on Twitter that much anymore, bro. I just kind of, like, log on, drop my tweets, and then dip.
Good for you.
All right.
The question I got from Reddit 5 days ago comes from Bure Huaito. He said, TK, when's the gospel rap album coming? Church of Jesus Christ needs a second coming.
At 1250 subs.
There you have it.
I will write a gospel song.
Put on Spotify?
Church of Jesus Christ. Yep.
Oh!
Bitch, you better play as God or I'm going to shoot and that's on God. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. All right. All right, man. That's going to be it for Hard Reese. Thank you all for hanging out. I'll see y'all pretty soon on Blast Zone as well. But, you know, until then. Guys, obviously, you can find this on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify and on my YouTube very soon. So check that out. If you missed anything and you want to make sure that you caught it all here on Hard Reads. Austin, you got any final words?
No, man. That's it.
All right. Well, yeah, I'll catch you guys next time. Well, I'll catch you guys tonight, actually. But also just, you know, be safe, take care of each other, and have a good night.